called Ghost. I know this is October the 6th, and probably now for a few weeks, every store you walk into, they're already decorating. They've got the spooky on display. They're trying to tell you all about ghosts and all of the, stuff that goes with that. And that's not what we're celebrating in this series today. I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This ghost is real. This is the one that actually does exist and lives and moves and is ready to bless our lives. And I want to take this subject surrounding the Holy Spirit and make it a little bit easier to understand, if that's possible, just to kind of teach my way through some foundational things. And just, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture in this series, and I hope you come armed and ready to write some notes or to type into your phone, and something that you can go back and just chew on and study a little bit, because this ghost is absolutely real, and the Holy Spirit is alive. And so I want to learn about Him. I want to grow in my understanding of how He works and how He moves in my life. Look at Acts chapter 19 today, verses 1 and 2. Acts 19, verses 1 and 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, where he found several believers. Verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So he's asking, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? "No, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." I think this is descriptive of really three scenarios or three categories of people, and those are primarily the people that I'm teaching to today. First of all, you have Christians who are uninformed about the Holy Spirit. They just don't know. They just haven't heard of it. Believe it or not, something that is so familiar to you can be completely foreign to someone else. I meet people all the time that just do not know. And most probably the reason that they do not know is because they're not reading the Word for themselves. They're relying on, a teacher to get up before them, and maybe that particular teacher skirts that issue or talks about other things or something along those lines. But they're just uninformed about the Holy Spirit. And then the second category is other Christians who are misinformed about the Holy Spirit. You have believers, you have Christians who have been told that the Holy Spirit was only for the believers in the book of Acts. That was something that happened at a certain time or at a certain period in time. Oftentimes they are called cessationist. Meaning that they believe the Holy Spirit or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ended at a certain dispensation. And so that was for then. That was just there to empower the apostles in the book of Acts as the church was beginning, and that ceased to exist. And so now we're just supposed to live without that. So they have been misinformed, and it has become a part of their tradition. It has become a part of their dogma and their belief system. They do not believe the Holy Spirit is for them today. And then you have a third category, and that includes others who are just skeptical. They're just skeptical about the Holy Spirit. Either they've had a bad experience, or they were flipping through the TV channel and happened to land on some weirdo on Christian late night TV, that just really represented or presented the moving of the Holy Spirit in in odd ways. You know, I could tell you about all kinds of stuff that I've seen through the years, but that might only confirm your skepticism, so I'm going to leave that alone. But there is that category of people who've had bad experiences, or they just think it's weird, or the people who have the Holy Spirit are weird, and so they just stay away from it, and we probably fall into one of those categories, or it's easy for people to fall into one of those categories. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I may refer to Him as a spirit or as a ghost. The title of this series is Ghost. Those terms are interchangeable, and I'll use both while I'm teaching, but they mean absolutely the same thing. But I want to answer two questions today, and then I want to give you three results. I'm going to answer two questions and then give you three results in our teaching today. The first question that I want to answer is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. You often hear terms like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that there are three gods. That doesn't mean that there are three separate beings. There is one God, but He manifests Himself in three different ways. Sometimes this is a tough concept for people to grasp or for people to understand. And there's a lot of debate about this and the terms that people use. And I'll do my best to simplify it and make it as easy to understand as possible. If I were to use an example today, I am a father. I am also someone's son. And then I am someone's husband. So I fulfill three different roles, and all of them are distinct from the other, and yet I am one person. I'm one person. My name is Daryl, but I'm a husband, I'm a son, and I am a father. I'm three, but I'm one. Does that make sense to you today? That's who God is. He is a Father, He is a Son, and He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. And then secondly, I would tell you the Holy Spirit is a person. And I really don't like the word person. That's not my favorite descriptor about the Holy Spirit, because it probably is better stated that He has personality attributes. Because the Bible says that God is a spirit. No one has seen God at any time. And then the Bible said that Jesus died on the cross and He gave up the ghost. And then in Acts 2 it fell, and cloven tongues like fire set upon each of them. He didn't knock on the door and come walking into the room in bodily form that they could see or recognize. So when we say He is a person, He is a spirit that has personality attributes or person-like attributes. For your study, you can write these down. I'm not going to go through them today, but you can write them down as you're working through this in your mind this week. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 talks about the Holy Spirit having a will and choosing. Ephesians 4 and 30 says that He feels and can be grieved. So there are emotions there. Romans 8:27 speaks about His mind and how He thinks. All of those are things that you can study and look at to understand how the Holy Spirit works and the attributes that have been given to Him. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit is the person of God in the now. Or you could even say the Holy Spirit is the expression of God in the now. He is who we are communing with, connecting with, working with in the now. What does that mean? That means when I feel or when I sense the presence of God, I am sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I know as church people, we use a lot of interchangeable terms. We're like, whoo, God was in the place today, and He was. Or we say, man, did Jesus moved in that house today? And he did. And then yet someone else would say, man, the Holy Ghost was, whoo, it was awesome today. And he was. But all of those descriptors, all of those names offered are all talking about the same God. But the Holy Spirit is the expression of God in the now. Jesus ascended in Acts 1, and the Holy Ghost descended in Acts 2. They were there when he went away, and then they were waiting for him in the upper room and felt him come into the room, and he filled all of them with the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 7, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. It's impossible for me to remain here, Jesus, if I'm speaking first person for Jesus. It's impossible for me to stay here and you also have the Holy Spirit, because I'm just here in bodily form and can only go where your boats take me, and can only do what my feet can carry me, because I'm living as the God-man. I'm 100% man and 100% God, but I can only go where my feet can carry me. But if I go away, then the advocate is coming, the comforter is coming, your help is coming in the power of the Holy Spirit, who can be everywhere at one time. Is this making sense to you today? And so he's saying, I don't want to just be with you, but I want to be present in you. As Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, as Jesus in body form, I am with you. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am going to be in you. Can I just say this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to help us in every area of our lives? He wants to be in us. That means if he's in me, it's not like, well, I'm getting ready for church and I've got that one little section of my closet that is church clothes. Everything else is work uniforms or vacation clothes, or, you know, this whole section over here of stuff that I'm going to be able to wear if I ever lose that weight. And I just got this one little section of church clothes. And so on Sunday morning, I go in and I pick from that section of church clothes and I put those on. And magically, mysteriously, when I put my church clothes on, all of a sudden I have the Holy Spirit in me. And I go to church and I feel God real good all day long. And then Monday, I put the work uniform on and the Holy Spirit stays in the closet with the church clothes. No. If he lives in you, he goes wherever you go. If he's in you, he goes to work with you. If he's in you, he goes to school with you. If he's in you, he goes on vacation with you. If he's in you and you choose to go someplace you know you're not supposed to go, he goes with you. And the whole time you're in there, he's tapping you on the shoulder. That's another message, but it'll be a good one when I preach it, I promise you. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he wants to help us. The Bible talks about him being a guide for us and leading us and ordering our steps and walking with us and the steps of good men being ordered by the Lord. We want that in our lives because we need that kind of help. Because if I have the Holy Spirit in me, then I'm going to be a better. What do you want to be? What where do you want to be better in your life? You want to be a better spouse? Do you want to be a better parent? Do you want to be a better child to someone? How do you want to be better? In what ways and in what areas do you want to improve? The Holy Spirit can absolutely help every single one of us, and he is alive today to bring that help and to give that help to us. Someone that's getting that, just say amen. So that's very nutshell, very, very, very big picture overview of who is the Holy Spirit. But let me answer the second question today. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. So the Holy Spirit came in a form that everyone could recognize. It was the form of a dove. You've seen this in artist renderings and stained glass presentations. You see Jesus in the water looking up, and here comes the dove, and ultimately there is the voice of God that declares, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." So why do I need the Holy Spirit in my life? Because I need these three results in my life. I need the Holy Spirit because there's three things that I need specifically from the Holy Spirit. The first is direction. I need the direction of the Holy Spirit in my life. Luke 4 and 1, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit is a guide. It is direction for your life. Sometimes you do not know where to go, what to do, what decision to make. You ever been there? You ever wondered, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about this? And so you pray and say, Lord, what is the answer? What am I supposed to do? Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Help me know what to do about this circumstance or this situation in my life. And then suddenly you start taking steps, or you make a decision, or you start on the path, and you're trusting I'm doing what it is I'm supposed to be doing. Some of you are spiritual enough that you get voices, and God sends you emails, and pigeons come and sit on your stoop and tell you exactly what you need to do. And then there are others of us who are still struggling. Pray our strength in the Lord, but we're struggling, and we don't hear audible voices, and we just have to trust that when we make a decision based on all of the information that we have, that it is God ordering our steps and directing us, because we depend on the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But hear me, I need big picture direction for my life, and then I need seasonal direction for my life. I need overall direction, just in general. Lord, I turned 47 years old yesterday. Instead of telling me happy birthday, my son said, Dad, you're getting old. Thanks, bud. He told me just how close I was to 50, and I reminded him that I'm still just that far from 50. But I need big picture direction. I've got a 13-year-old smart aleck son. I need direction in my life. I need big picture direction. I've got a lot of responsibility in my life. I've got a lot of people that depend on me for clear direction. I need big picture direction. And then there are days that you're just going through things, or you're just dealing with things, or you're just trying to make decisions, and you just need to know, do I go right or left? Do I zig? Do I zag? What do I do at this exact moment? Those are seasonal things. Those are things that we know are just temporary. It too is going to pass. It's going to come and go. And this little bobble in the road, or this little bump along the way is just temporary, but I need the direction of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need it. Yet the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. That's odd. It's odd because James says that God will not lead us into sin. It's odd because the Bible says that he will not put on us more than we can bear, and that God does not tempt us. He does not tempt us. He's not playing those kinds of games with us. He's not going to lead us into a temptative situation and say, well, let me just see how good he does. Let me see how well he handles this. No, God does not tempt him, and yet the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness because that is where he was going to be tempted. This is what I want you to understand out of that, because Jesus told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. So we know that God is not out for our tripping or our stumbling or our fumbling in life. He's trying to help us, but here's the reality. While he's seeking direction, the enemy shows up to tempt him. While you and I are seeking direction, the enemy comes to say, let me see if I can get him to listen to me instead of listening to the right voice. Let me see if I can get him to follow me instead of following after the Lord. And there's a spiritual lesson here. When the Lord is leading you into a new season or to better days or to dreams come true, as we just taught about for the last few weeks in our Dream Again series. When the Lord is leading you into a new season or whatever it may be, it's possible that process is not going to be easy. And it's my job to prepare you for that, because I'm not trying to present a journey with Jesus or an experience with the Lord that is separate and apart from struggle or from trouble. In fact, you're going to have trouble and you're going to have struggle. But hear me, our greatest temptation doesn't come while we're in sin. It comes while we're in purpose. My greatest temptation to sin does not come while I'm in sin. Why would he need to tempt me to sin when I'm already living in sin? No, he's got me. He's good. Let him go. It's when I'm living in purpose that he comes with an onslaught of attack and temptation and struggle, when I'm living in purpose. You know my worst day for temptation? It's on Sunday. Fun fact. It's after church. It's after I've given out. It's after I've spent myself. It's after I've preached hard and taught and given what God has given me. That's my day to struggle mentally. That's my day for stupid ideas to come into my brain, because I'm living my purpose, and the enemy does not like that. So when you get in purpose, the enemy says, I got to get him out of his purpose. I've got to get her out of her purpose. I've got to get them distracted. I've got to get them off pace. I've got to get them out of the lane that is taking them toward the greatness of God. But guess what? You and I can overcome. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to overcome. We need direction. We need guidance. We need the help of the Lord. Is anybody thankful for the direction of the Holy Spirit? Hear me today, a Holy Spirit believer without direction is an oxymoron. You can't be a Holy Spirit believer and not get the direction of the Lord. You can fight the direction of the Lord. You can know God is telling you to do this, and you can choose to do that. And guess what? All of us have been there and have dealt with the consequences of not being obedient to the word of the Lord. We've been there. We've felt that. So here's something else. Another reason why we need the Holy Spirit. It's because we need power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:14, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. It's one of the reasons I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God in my life. I'm actually going to push pause on this point about power and come back to that in just a moment as we're wrapping up this message. I want to go a little deeper in the foundation of why I need the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you number three really quick. The other reason that I need, why I need the Holy Spirit in my life, is because of his calling on my life. So number one is direction. Number two is power. We're coming back to that. Number three is calling. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. When you read this, this is Jesus' mission. This is Jesus' assignment. This is Jesus' purpose. This is his calling. And guess what? You and I have a calling. You and I have a purpose for our lives. You and I have an assignment for our lives. You may be saying, Pastor Darrell, I do not know what my calling is. I do not know what my assignment is. I do not know what my purpose is. I invite you to come to Discover Church next Sunday. Let me help you with that and get into the weeds a little bit and talk about some of those things in your life. But hear me, if you have breath, his breath in your lungs, then you absolutely have a purpose for your life. And it's not just making sure your floors are mopped or your grass is mowed. You've got a purpose that's bigger than that. You've got an assignment that's bigger than that. And the day you find out why you're still alive is going to be the best day of your life. You got to know what that calling is, and the Holy Spirit wants to fulfill that. He wants to bring awareness to that. He wants to bring an understanding of that. He wants to teach us about our calling, because where God assigns, he also anoints. You may be anointed to be a parent. You may be anointed to be a business owner. You may be anointed to be a politician. God bless you. You may be anointed to be a caregiver. It doesn't matter what it is. You're anointed for an assignment. And hear me, the Bible teaches us that when you're anointed, it breaks yokes. It destroys yokes. It breaks chains. To be anointed, the word literally means to be marked with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And the word marked, really, it's an all right word, but the word literally means to be painted by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Like you were to stand here and somebody get a paintbrush and just color you in, paint you head to toe. You know that wouldn't come off easy. You wouldn't just be able to get in the shower and just spin around three times and all of that be gone. No, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is intended to stick to you. The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. When it gets on you, that's why there's singers wearing next to nothing on stages around the world right now that are not even singing about Jesus, but they have an anointing on their life. Doesn't even make sense to us. It's not even clear why. It's because there's an anointing on their life, and we pray for them. We ask God to redirect them. We pray for direction and purpose and understanding of that purpose to happen and to come alive in their life. But I need to know what my assignment is so that I can function and operate and be anointed, because when I am anointed, walls come down and yokes are destroyed and bondages are broken. Is there anybody in this room that wants the anointing of God in your life? I'm teaching today, but just stay with me. Be in every Sunday of this series, because I promise you, you're going to know more. You're going to know more at the end of this series than you did starting. That's not a slight. I want to know. I'm learning more. I'm knowing more and understanding more, just studying in and preparing and getting ready. I want to know what it is that God is saying. When I have the Holy Spirit in my life, I can do things. David said, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall." The power of God in my life, it allows me to do things that I wouldn't normally be able to do. So let's go back to power. The number two point, we have direction. We have calling, number three, and then number two, we have power. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus tells us, "But you will receive power." Everyone say power. You will receive power. Not some people will receive power. Not blonde-headed people will receive power. Not people with certain titles will receive power. You will receive power. Everyone filled with the Holy Spirit is going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this is twofold. This is power in us, but it's also power through us. The experience of the Holy Spirit, the benefit of the Holy Spirit is not just for me. It may work that way initially. My life, you know, when the Lord finds me or when the Lord fills me up, maybe it's in a mess. Maybe it's riddled with addiction. Maybe I'm struggling with this, that, or the other. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes into my life and He spends some time healing me. He spends some time working on me. He spends some time fixing me, solving me, helping me out. I get into small groups and the Lord leads me and helps me do the things that I need to do. But at some point, and at some stage and at some time in your spiritual journey, He's going to say, all right, I've got you fixed up, but guess what? I did all of that in you, all of that good work. I did that in you for a reason, because there's somebody over here that your testimony is going to be able to help. So not only did I put the power in you for you, but I put the power in you to bless and to work through you for someone else. And that's really where we are as a church. I'm trying to get as many of you as possible to grasp that and to understand that I was not saved just to come in on Sunday and get in my one seat and don't dare anybody sit in my seat. This is my seat. I'm going to sit right here and count the goosebumps on my forearm. Whew, the Lord has been, look, there's another, that when they sing this song, that one always comes up right there. Thank you, Jesus. That's great and that's good. And I feel good. I love to feel the presence of God. I am addicted to feeling the presence of God. I love Tanya's ministry moment testimony this morning. She was losing her mind, felt like, man, I can't handle this. What do I need to do? I need to get in the presence of God. Let me find my worship music. Let me find my Bible. Let me get into the Word of God and get calm in my spirit so that I can get some clarity about what is going on in my life. I am addicted to that. I have to have that. You may be strong enough to go weeks and weeks and weeks without being in the presence of God. I am not. I need the presence of God as often as I possibly can get the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in me. But He's trying to tell me, hey, all of that I've put inside of you, it's not just for you. You've got to spill over onto somebody else who does not have what you have, so that they can know what you know and feel what you feel. It's the power in you, but it's the power through you. We've got to get some power through some folk and into this community. Got to get the power through you into people who are hurting, people who are broken, people who are struggling in their life. Got to get the power through you. Through each of us, through all of us. Amen. How many want to be used of God? I want to be used of God. I want the Holy Spirit to work through me to bless someone else. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because dynamite, it's dynamic, it's energy, it's motion, it's force. It changes its surroundings. It's progress. That's what the power is. That's what the dunamis is in my life. It causes change. It causes motion. It is a force in my life. It moves things and changes atmosphere and creates progress in my life. When I get the Holy Spirit, when I pray in the Holy Spirit, He's doing all of that in me. He is bringing power to my life. Because here's what I know. It's just a fact of every person in this room. No one woke up this morning saying, Lord, make me weak today. No one got out of bed saying, I hope this is a terrible day today. Man, Lord, just let me give in to every temptation that comes my way today. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. No. We all wake up saying, today is going to be the day the Lord has made in my life. Today is going to be the day that God has purposed in my life. Today I'm going to be stronger than I was yesterday. Today I'm going to be better equipped and better armed than I was yesterday. Yesterday I had a Bible. Yesterday I thought some things I shouldn't have thought. Yesterday I struggled. But today, Lord, I am receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and I'm going to conquer and walk boldly because I have been painted with an oil, and I've still got the paint on me. I may have gone in a place they didn't recognize paint, but I still got paint on me, and I am going to live stronger today and better today because I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear me, just as a side note, don't worry about what happened yesterday. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for that. Let me get that up under your blood. Let today be a day of new beginnings and fresh starts in my life so that I can go and conquer and do and be victorious just like you have called me to be. Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? John 16, 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because he goes on to say, in this world you will have trouble. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm just being real with you. In this world you're going to have trouble. Long as you're living in flesh, as long as you're going to have trouble in your life. But take heart. I have overcome the world. He said, you have not overcome yet, but I have overcome. And guess what? I am living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if I am an overcomer and I filled up your life with my Spirit, that makes you an overcomer. If I am victorious, that means that you are victorious. I want to declare over every single person who identified with Tanya's testimony this morning that there was anxiety or there was fear or there was this overwhelming dread that came into your life. Maybe you've not felt a lump. Maybe you don't have a diagnosis. Maybe you can't point or pinpoint any exact reason why you're feeling the way you are feeling. Let me just tell you that some things are spiritual. Some things are spiritual lumps. Some things are spiritual cancers. Sometimes you just got to take authority and say, wait a minute, I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm waking up today and walking and living and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit because I am victorious. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I refuse to be beaten today. I refuse to be destroyed today. I am a victor and not a victim. I am an overcomer. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is alive in me. Somebody give God praise in this room today for the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to face challenges. You will, I will. We all will. We're going to face challenges, whether it's family challenges, finance challenges, or health challenges. We're going to face challenges. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when challenges come? Are we going to fall apart? Are we going to throw in the towel? Or are we going to stand up and declare that we are men and women of God, and he's called us to live victoriously? Which one are we going to do? Some of you are facing those kind of challenges right now. Some of you are dealing with that right now. Some of you are struggling right now in your life, and you're saying, I don't know whether to, I'm at a crossroads. I could go either way. I could either stand up and declare, or I could fall apart. I don't know. I feel like I'm struggling between the two. But just in case, if I was going to stand up and declare, how would I do that? It's possible with the Holy Spirit in your life. John, 1 John 4 and 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Somebody say, the one in me is bigger. The one in me is stronger than the enemy in the world. I don't know if you believe what you just said over your life. God in me. because the Holy Spirit gives us power and helps us overcome, whether it's fear or discouragement or temptation or habits or insecurities. We're not reaching for behavior modification. We're after the power of God. We're not doing self-help classes. I'm not against bettering yourself. I'm not against disciplines and 7 habits of highly effective people. And I'm not against any of that. As long as it's all submitted to first place in my life, that is the power of God. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. All of us have changes we need to make. I meet people all the time. Pastor Dale, I'm coming to that church. I'm coming. I'm getting a few things worked out. Let me get a few things taken care of. I pastored a guy for 7-8 years. Every time we had baptisms, man, I want to get baptized. I need, it's time. I need to get baptized. Come on. Why don't you come today? Why don't you get baptized today? I'm just not ready. What are you waiting on? I'm going to do it next time. I'm going to do it. I just got to get some things worked out. Got to get some things. What that means is, let me give you that in street. It means I want to do it one more time. Whatever I'm addicted to, whatever I'm messing with, whomever I'm messing with, I want to do it one more time. I'm going to get it out of my system, and then I'm going to come let God do the work in my life. You better come while it's day. Don't play games with the Lord. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Whew, I just felt the Holy Spirit walk in this room. I need His power to overcome. We all have changes we need to make. But we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to fully make those changes in our life. So I declare today, I'm not going to be overcome. I am going to overcome. So let me ask you this as I close today. Where is the power of God today? This is a real conviction for me. I want you to know my heart. You've been coming here faithful week after week. This is a conviction that will not settle and it will not be calmed. Because I'm concerned as the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the global church, the churches you and I are a part of. My friends, my colleagues, and our churches included. It concerns me that we are looking for, or maybe have found a way to do church without the power of God. So hear me, just because we don't understand something, just because we don't fully know about a thing doesn't mean we should stop expecting it. And I'm speaking to people that come from other traditions, and I am very cognizant, I'm very aware that this is a melting pot of traditions, a melting pot of beliefs. There are people here that this Holy Spirit stuff, it spooks you. It makes you nervous. You're not sure. But yet you keep coming, and I want you to. Sometimes I tell you to buckle your seatbelt, and we got a few seats with seatbelts, and you got to find those and buckle them sometime, because sometimes it seems like, whoo, this church is wild. Not always like that. We're intentional. I don't want every Sunday to be up here on a 9.5, and people that are, you know, their belief or their spirit level is at a 3 or a 4, and they don't feel like they can, you know. So I realize there's a melting pot, and there's all kinds of people in this room. But hear me. We also cannot tear pages out of the Bible just because they don't fit into our tradition. We got to take the whole Bible cover to cover. And the Holy Spirit is replete through the Bible. And he said, I want it to be active in your life. I want you to have it in your life, and I want your church to be blessed, spirit-filled, and powerful. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and my message and my preaching were very plain. That's funny, because this is the Apostle Paul. Everything that came out of his mouth was genius. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This is a man right here. But he said, my message, my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever or persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the greatest theologian. Yet he said, when I preach, I would rather lives be changed than someone be wowed by what I say. Hear me. I'm not up here practicing trying to be a good preacher. I want something to happen when God's word goes forth. Lives to be changed. There are things that have happened and that are happening that we'll never be able to put on a video. They'll never come and host a ministry moment because they are too personal. They're too private. They're not things that are shared publicly. But there are real miracles happening in this house. Real miracles. Thank God for lumps that come back benign. Thank God for every notable seen miracle, doctor recognized miracle. But there's so many emotional miracles and so many heart miracles and so many spirit miracles and so many things that God does. That's what the focus is. That's what we want to have happen. People being saved, people being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul told Timothy, his protege, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, let me skim it. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, he's talking about our days, in the last days there will be very difficult times. You know this to be true. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and they'll hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power. That could make them godly. He said, stay away from people like that. The King James says they'll have a form of godliness. That's religion. But they'll deny the power thereof. You need to hear me. We're living in these days when people hate what is good. I don't know if you saw it this week, but there was a young man named Brant Jean. An off-duty police officer entered the wrong apartment. She thought she was going into her apartment. It was Botham Jean's apartment. And she took that man's life. We can debate about the sentence personally. I don't think 10 years was enough. That's my personal opinion. But that little brother sat on that stand and said, I forgive you. one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But yet all week, I have watched social media just bubble and bubble. People hating that young man. People despising that beautiful act of forgiveness because they hate that woman so much. I'm not where that young man is. I realize this week the Lord still got some work to do on me. Can I hug her? Your Honor, can I strangle her? Can I just be real? I told you I struggle on Sundays. But he said there's coming a day that people are going to, they're going to hate what is good. What that young man did, that is the picture of Jesus. That is the picture of Jesus. That they'll probably run that judge off the bench. They'll probably make sure she's not a judge. But that woman climbed off that dais and took her own Bible and said, here, let me talk to you about giving your life to Jesus. You're a murderer. You're going to prison. She'll probably be killed in prison. But let me tell you about a God who loves you in spite of what you did. Folks, are we just going to have church? Or are we going to reach for the power of the Holy Spirit that puts something in us, willing to love people that have hurt us and wronged us and abused us? Are we going to be full of His Spirit? Come on, stand with me across this room. I'm over time, but